This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Watch us, love us. Just follow WEEI on Twitch. Jones and Keefe
on WEEI.
I've changed my mind on Cooper Kupp. I heard Andrew Whitworth talked about Cooper Kupp, about how smart he is, about how he's going to be a coach. He thinks of the game in a different way and would, you know, basically like suggest things in terms of like, you know, how to change blocking assignments and, you know, certainly routes, and how he basically, you know, he runs the receivers room. He's the one that, you know, taught Puka Nacua like everything that he knows about that offense and how he's become so good so quickly. Like, when I heard all that stuff, I was like, how do the Patriots not bring in a guy like that?
Greg Bedard on Cooper Kupp. I don't know if that's the right reason to sign Cooper Kupp.
He can coach. He can call plays. Like, he's a mentor. I don't rule out the fact that he could be some sort of mentor and a real good
influence. He's making that sound like it's like the number one reason to bring him in. I guess it would be somewhere on the list. That's bottom of the list.
Call me crazy. I think he still has some game.
Me too.
I don't know how many games he'll play. That's sort of unfortunately been a real problem for Cooper Kupp.
He's going to give you a solid 2 months.
But when he plays, that's good. Here's the issue, though. So he had the greatest receiver season of all time in 2021.
I've heard that.
You can't even debate it.
It's been brought up.
Catches, yards, touchdowns, Super Bowl MVP. But then he followed that up with 9 games, 12 games, 12 games.
Yeah, not great.
It's a 17-game season, Cooper. We're going to need a little bit more out of you.
So one of the things the Patriots, I think, have going for them is coaching experience. I don't think they need coaches on the field. Now, the receiver room was terrible last year.
Maybe the worst.
And it could have used an adult in the room.
Yeah.
So, again, that's somewhere on my list. But I'm not bringing in Cooper Kupp for that reason. And even you, Keith, and you're probably higher on the Cooper Kupp move
than anybody,
honestly, than most. But even you're like, if they get Kupp, they need more in that room. Like,
yeah,
you don't just stop there.
Well, I don't think it's fair to any one receiver to bring them in and be like, it's fixed. Like, if that's how bad it is. Because if you brought in T. Higgins, I don't think it's fixed. You'd have to shoot even higher than that. And none of those guys,
right,
I don't think, are really available. A.J. Brown probably crossed off. I think Cincinnati's going to keep Jamar Chase, CeeDee Lamb staying, Justin Jefferson staying, like that very top end group, maybe.
Right.
Everybody else, give them a guy like Cooper Kupp. So if it was T. Higgins and Cooper Kupp, I'm like, we're cooking with gas.
That's
wishful thinking.
Not to call it Moss and Welker, but like,
no, it's not that, but like, I'd be pumped.
I mean, I would maybe react the same way
to
that offseason.
I'd have to dust off the puppet gif. I don't know if you've seen the puppet gif.
I've seen it.
Been a long time.
Yeah, well,
what would you even use it for? Not much. Glitter guns. We can bring the glitter guns
back.
Yeah. But I think for any of those guys that we've even considered, you know, Deebo Samuel, DK Metcalf, even if, you know, DK Metcalf, a high-end receiver, but if it's like, all right, you're out there with Kayshon Booty and Jalen Polk, he's going to be like, all right, like, yeah, I'm used to playing with Tyler Lockett and Jaxon Smith-Njigba. Yeah. Like,
have fun with double coverage.
Yeah. Oh, triple coverage.
Yeah.
So I think two is the way to go, and that makes the job easier for everybody. You know, Drake May included. So hopefully that's what they're able to pull off.
So I asked you this earlier. You'd prefer Kupp over Deebo. I think in a vacuum, I would prefer Deebo. I'd agree with Tom Curran on this. Knowing that it's Josh McDaniels as a play caller, I feel like Cooper Kupp in the slot, that's the kind of thing you need to make the McDaniels offense go. Samuel's all over the formation. You got to be creative with him. I don't know if that's McDaniels' strong suit.
I think for Drake May, though, too, not just McDaniels, like, I want Drake May, give him, like, a real wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Debo's, like, a football player. He kind of does a little bit of everything.
Well, and if he's right, it's you line him up in the backfield, it's horizontal throws, he breaks one tackle, and then he's gone. That's if he's right. He might have lost a step, and he'll never get that back. But you're banking on Debo still having something left in the tank, just like you are with Kupp.
Right.
It's a pretty unique piece. It's not a more traditional receiver like Cooper Kupp.
Yeah, and I think that would be a little bit of an adjustment. Now, he's still a great player, so you say, all right, Josh McDaniels figured it out, Drake May figured it out. But just as far as like a wide receiver that he could throw the ball to pick up first downs and things like that, I think Cooper Kupp would be the better choice.
So with McDaniels now back in New England and talking about his offense, Chad Graff, over the weekend in New Orleans, he says he caught up with Robert Kraft in New Orleans.
Oh, what a coincidence.
Which, again, to me is very interesting. Chad Graff has had some good insight into ownership, and now all of a sudden he's just bumping into Robert Kraft on Bourbon Street. Did any other beat writers talk to Robert Kraft this
Not
week?
That I'm aware of.
If they did, I missed it. I might have missed it. But I didn't see it. He said, here's what he said on the Patriots hiring Josh McDaniels as offensive coordinator. Robert Kraft, quote, when we interviewed Mike and asked him who he might be interested in bringing on, without a pause, no pause, Keith, just right away.
I mean,
you couldn't even get the sentence out.
Yeah.
His first name that he brought up was Josh McDaniels because he thought it would be something very special for Drake. Their experience and chemistry together is very positive. Again, I don't think they have much chemistry and experience together, but Robert would know that better than I. I think that was a good development. From every way you look at it, I think it's a win-win. It was his decision. Josh was very excited. I hope we get the fruits of the potential positives out of that. He has a very good history of developing and dealing with good quarterbacks and developing an offense that can really produce. So I don't buy this.
I don't buy this either.
At all.
Well, no, this seems like damage control because more and more people have started to come out and say, hey, look at this entire new coaching staff. Which hire stands out? Which one doesn't have a direct link to Vrabel? And if you want to say, well, Vrabel was a player when McDaniels was a young coach, like, okay. But all these other guys coached with Vrabel in some degree, right? Or like one degree away or like we're right there. This one seems much more like a Kraft hire than McDaniels. So then when you're going to have this story come out that it for sure was a Vrabel hire, like, I don't know.
And before, Rob Gronkowski said your first call should be to Josh McDaniels.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to look at every possible candidate that I feel like can help us.
Without pause.
That was quite a bit of a pause there.
Without pause.
I read that as like he's on the list, I guess.
Well, so me too, but let's give Courtney some credit. Courtney said he was playing coy there because he knew it was a done deal and he didn't want to make it look like a foregone conclusion.
I just feel like he was going to consider a bunch of people. He probably didn't know exactly who it was going to be. You want to see how it was all going to play out, who was going to take what job, who might leave other jobs, that kind of thing.
Yeah,
he's worked with a bunch of different offensive coordinators and offensive coaches over his time.
Nick, keep that handy one more time.
McDaniel's not one of them.
Keep that handy.
Yeah.
I want to get the exact wording here from Kraft one more time. Let me pull the tweet back up.
Kraft or Graff?
Well, Graff had the Kraft tweet.
Got it. That's confusing.
Quote, when we interviewed Mike and asked him who he might be interested in bringing on, Without pause. He said Josh McDaniels?
Rob Gronkowski said your first call should be to Josh McDaniels.
It's pause.
And an
Yeah.
Pause. Yeah.
No hesitation. No pause.
Sure.
I want Josh McDaniels. Josh is the guy. It didn't sound that way. Great pull by you and Nick there,
yeah.
Keith.
But,
I had forgotten about that comment.
But I guess if you want to play the other side, devil's advocate,
sure.
As it were.
Yeah.
That feels like a ball.
Al Pacino, Keanu Reeves, devil's advocate. This hiring cycle had their issues with what were bag jobs versus what weren't.
Correct.
And interview process and Rooney Rule and everything else. So maybe it is possible that Josh McDaniels was already signed, but they're like, we haven't done fake interviews yet. We can't say anything.
Play dumb.
That's possible.
It is possible.
I just think Mike Vrabel had worked with a bunch of guys, and if you look at who his defensive coordinator is, if you look at some of the offensive position coaches that he hired, some of the defensive position coaches that he hired, the front office guy that he brought in, I don't know. Like, they all have much more direct connections to him when he was a coach than Josh McDaniels does.
Yeah, so I don't buy that. Perhaps you do, and maybe you want to go, as you said, full devil's advocate, full conspiracy theory that they just wanted to make it look like it wasn't a bad job. Perhaps, but that certainly was a pause.
Well, one thing we know for a fact is that Kraft loves McDaniels.
True.
He brought him back. He convinced him not to take the Colts job, that whole thing.
So this is why when we say, who's running the Patriots and do you trust them? My answer is, I'm still worried it's Kraft, and no, I don't. Because I just... If Vrabel's really running the Patriots, I don't think McDaniels is his guy. So, and I think he kind of had McDaniels maybe forced on him is too strong, but strongly pushed on him, and he said, I'm not going to fight this one.
So, well, that's the reason why I'm still somewhat optimistic, is because I don't know who Mike Vrabel's surefire coordinator was. Was there a guy that he really, really wanted?
We heard Reese. We heard that name Tommy Reese over and over again, which I wasn't crazy about. I'm with you on either. But I think that was his guy.
But so if it was Tommy Reese, and then he ended up going McDaniels, but he was able to pick the rest of the staff, I'll be cautiously optimistic going into the draft, right? Like, is Robert Kraft going to say, hey, see, I'm more worried about Kraft just spending money overall than on certain players. Like, now that they have the quarterback, because if you want to say he meddled in, you know, trading away Garoppolo to keep Brady happy, or then to draft Mac Jones and to draft Drake May, all right, well, that's the most important position in all of sports. But if it's, hey, we really want to spend big money on Myles Garrett, can you just give us the green light on it? I don't think Kraft's going to be like, well, no, let's go get player X, Y, and Z.
No,
I think he'll be able to get that guy. I hope.
That's, I think, fair.
Yeah.
Good text here, 617-779-7937. A Rich Rule. Oh, good. We should have some Rich Rules.
Rich Rule?
Yeah, there was the Jordan Rules.
Oh, the Rich Rules.
Keith Rules.
Keith Rules. What is this?
Jones Drools. A Rich Rule. If a guy has ever had excellent stats in the last 4 years at any point, Rich wants him on the team. It doesn't matter how washed they are current day. Bring them in. They were good once.
Well,
that was actually my stance on basketball players for years. I was like, get me James Harden.
DeMarcus Cousins.
Russell Westbrook.
I mean, I loved Boogie Cousins.
The same.
Boogie to Boston.
Yeah.
Hashtag. So the texture's not completely wrong. So actually, there's two examples. One where I was that I wanted the guy and I was wrong, and one where I did not want the guy that would have hit that criteria. So when Josh Gordon came here, Andy Hart always throws this in my face. I thought Josh Gordon was still like a top 10 receiver.
Mm-hmm.
He was not.
No.
But Juju Smith-Schuster had one great year in Pittsburgh, and when the Patriots signed him, I was like, I don't want this guy.
Yeah, you were very much out.
And he stunk.
I was surprised you were out on Juju.
Did not want him.
Especially
at all.
As a receiver guy.
Yeah, but he stinks.
He is, it turns out.
He had one decent year because Antonio Brown was on the other side.
And then we all seem to agree that he stinks, but then I'll hear about all the really good talent that Patrick Mahomes won with when he was in Kansas City and how Brady never had talent.
True.
Not to bring that one up,
Juju
but he hauled a, not a career year, but the best year Juju's had in quite some time.
He had a nice little season.
And won a Super Bowl. Neither
Josh
here nor
Gordon's
there.
First year here, I think, would have been his third best season of his career.
Now, I don't recall. Was the first year the year where he was walking off the field in Pittsburgh?
Josh Gordon?
Yeah. The first year here is what I mean. In New England, where he was like completely out of shape and just like left the field. That was 2018. Was that his first year?
2018, he had 11 games played. He had 40 grabs for 720 yards, which would have been the most on this team this year.
Good yards per catch.
And just 3 touchdowns.
I think that was that
caught
year.
Brady's 500th.
Ooh.
Oh, good. Wow, nug there,
nice,
Nick.
Yeah, nice.
Good.
Nice.
That's a nick nug.
It's the Colts. I remember it. I love Josh Gordon, too, so I remember it.
All right, but good. A new Rich Rule.
Yep.
I'm happy we have this.
All right, add that to the list.
I mean, that is true. I liked Cam Newton. That's another one people are throwing in my face. I like Cam Newton even when the Patriots signed him. I was like, great signing.
I was happy they signed
him. He was good once.
At the time, no, I definitely was happy with that.
Right. Okay, good. There's a new show rule.
All right. But sometimes it can work because if you were in Philly and they signed Saquon Barkley, I would have been excited.
Yeah.
That worked out like gangbusters.
That did work out.
So,
but it might for us.
He'll work here.
So it did. Meanwhile, I want to replay a little more Breslow from earlier today on the Red Sox. I didn't realize we were getting picnic table talk today. That was not on my radar.
Yeah, this is exciting.
I knew
baseball season sneaks up on you.
I knew pitchers and catchers were reporting. Did John Henry hit the picnic tables yet? Have we heard from him yet? Did he make it down
still
there?
Still efforting.
That was just Corum Breslow?
No.
No, John. Wow, I was really expecting John Henry to talk on the picnic tables. But so
he's
let's
trying to buy the Celtics right now. So.
Let's replay this one real quick, and then there's a new cut I've not heard yet, but I'm told it's amusing.
Oh, good.
Breslow, when he spoke earlier today, he was asked whether or not the Red Sox are a playoff team, which on the surface doesn't sound like the most interesting question, but this is a good interview tactic I want to adopt.
This is great.
Let's.
It's currently constructed. Do you think this is a playoff team right now?
I do. Yes.
You do?
Yes.
You do?
I do.
This team?
Yes. Yes, I
the
do.
The Red Sox?
You do? The Red Sox? Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Playoffs.
That's right.
You sure, though?
You do.
Final answer? That's what you should hit him with.
Do you want the answer?
Do you want a lifeline?
Because I don't. I definitely don't. Like, well, do you want me to ask you? What is this?
One more time, Nick?
What a great exchange.
Yeah, so I got to start working that in.
That is smart.
Let's hear it.
I do. Yes.
You do.
Yes.
Yes.
Take it back.
I'm not a big Breslow fan, but honestly, if that's the question and then the follow-up, and that, like, he couldn't have done much better than that.
Yeah. It's like he's being cross-examined.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Do you? Really? Give me eight reasons why you're a player. He's like, eight reasons why? What the hell? He's like, do you think you're a player team? Yes. He didn't, like, hem and haw about it.
No, and he's like, that was very direct.
You do.
Yes.
It's almost too direct.
He's like, yes. Well, they teach you this in journalism
Repeat
school.
The question.
No.
Oh.
If you ask somebody a yes-no question, be prepared
be
for
ready
a yes-no answer.
That's true. Yeah, yeah. You got to be ready with
and
the
follow-up.
You ask yes-no, you need a follow-up.
And generally, and I'm not telling this man how to do his job, right? I'm barely qualified for this one. But if you ask a yes-no answer and then you get a yes-no response, you can't follow it up with also the same yes-no question.
Well, again, it's a...
Do
it's
you?
A, it's a...
Yes.
Really?
It's a tax. Yes.
You do.
Look, yes.
Not the most skilled interviewer over here myself, but I had never thought about that tactic. But
that
is
amazing.
I'm going to start working it. That might work well with Gonzo.
Do you think he circled back 5 minutes later and asked it again? They're like asking him about like,
you still feel that way?
This team, though.
Been a while since we...
Playoff team.
Been a while since we asked you. You still feel that way?
Yeah. Wild card? He's like, what? Wild card or division? He's like, what the hell?
Second wild card.
What is it, Matt?
Third wild card?
How many wins will you have this season?
Wild card, bitches! Yeah!
Is that what he's expecting?
I think, you know, we were constantly like, why aren't we getting any answers out of Christian Gonzalez? This would have been effective.
That next
Do you
next
really
year.
Think that would have worked?
Yeah.
If
yeah,
given
yes,
a chance.
I do now after listening to that. That's
Do you guys think
work.
He played well on Sunday?
Yes.
Do you?
You do?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
You do. Yes.
That's great stuff. If we get stuff like that all spring, we're going to be in for a good time.
I had no idea we were getting this.
We had a text today. Earlier in the show. It was like day zero of spring training, and we already have our quote of the year.
It's true. Now, I've not heard this next Breslow exchange. I'm told
I can't
this
wait.
Is
the same reporter?
Well, I don't know. I've not heard it. But so let's hear this back and forth with Craig Breslow today on the picnic tables.
Craig, at the end of last season, Sam talked to, it was Pete or Alex, but he spoke of extreme urgency internally and investing more than we did last year. Do you feel this offseason has reflected those issues?
So stop.
That's
so
not the same.
So Shaughnessy.
That is Dan Shaughnessy.
Oh, yeah. What do you think about the Sam Kennedy
comments? He's just sharpening his knives down there.
Okay, but this is important. It's important to know when...
You do. Yes. Yeah.
It's important to know when Shaughnessy's asking the question because people's backs are going to be up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
This
people,
guy,
people
come
are,
on.
I love Shaughnessy.
This guy. Yeah,
but
yeah.
They're like...
No, but the Red Sox don't.
No.
You love
no.
The Red Sox, certainly. But
you automatically get a little defensive. So, okay, it's a Shaughnessy question. I didn't know that. Keep going.
Yeah, so, you know, I think urgency is kind of a... It's a difficult word to define because we tend to evaluate urgency in terms of outcomes.
Yep.
And I think, you know, the concepts that we've discussed, the pursuits that we've had, have been done so with a level of aggressiveness and urgency. But I also understand that ultimately we're going to be evaluated by the product that we put on the field and the number of games that we win.
What does the word government mean to you?
Did he just say urgency is a difficult word to define?
Yeah.
Allow me to help.
Yeah, good.
Importance requiring swift action.
Valuable,
that's
Keith.
That's it.
Valuable.
Nope. Swift action.
I was...
Importance requiring swift action.
You do. Yes.
I was thinking Clinton. Depends what the definition of is.
Is.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking there. But so, yeah, it's really not that hard. That's somebody who would be better served by a yes-no answer.
To take one from Dubs in the chat... is Jones and Keefe a good show?
Yes.
You do. Yes.
Okay, good. You do think it is. Nice work.
Urgency is tough to define. So that is just a word salad, which Breslow is good for.
Yeah, that's nonsense.
That's just all
he panics. He's like, oh, God, Shaughnessy's asking me a question. Oh, God, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? What do I do?
Urgency is kind of a... It's a difficult word to define.
Is it?
Not really.
Yeah, it's just...
Even I know,
you know
what
it when you see it.
Yeah. I know what urgency means.
You do know it when you see it. Exactly. You are not an urgent man. There's no urgency whatsoever. You haven't signed anybody the whole offseason. No
but
urgency.
Don't you
there.
Just lean on the Garrett Crochet thing? We
you
think
should.
We acquired one of the best pitchers in the American League.
He
added another guy in the rotation.
He got a little flustered.
Shaughnessy boxing around a little bit.
Well, because they haven't spent any money.
No.
You know, like, that's sort of the question.
No, the obvious answer is, why is there a giant word salad non-answer? Because he doesn't have a good answer for it, so he beats around the bush and just says a bunch of words.
Well, this is also what you have when, and this goes back to the Bregman conversation, but it's the same thing. I think it applies to the whole team-building aspect of it, is if John Henry and Craig Breslow want to do it one way and Alex Cora wants to do it another, then they both have to answer questions at different times, and you're not going to get everything to line up the same.
No.
So that's tough.
It is. This is also one complaint. We get this text constantly. 617-779-7937. Josh McDaniels picked up Mike Vrabel at the airport for his introductory press conference. That is not what happened.
No, people, that's confusing.
People got that video confused. It was a social media video from the Patriots where McDaniels was talking about when he first met Mike Vrabel back in 2001.
Yeah, he was a defensive assistant. He was like 20 years old or whatever, and he picked him up at the airport.
He picked up Mike Vrabel, the player, as a free agent in 2001. He did not pick up Mike Vrabel because they're such good buddies when he got the job here in New England. We get that?
Yes. You did? Yes.
We get that constantly. Constantly. Uh-huh. Okay, good stuff from Breslow today. Real home run. We will talk to Rob Bradford.
All right.
On Thursday, live from spring training. We had a spot open up.
Mm-hmm.
Right in the middle of the week. So Thursday, 11:30, we're now going to be talking to Rob Bradford with a vacancy in the show, doing some spring training Red Sox talk. So I'm looking forward to that. We'll get to your phone calls, 617-779-7937. You can jump in line for WEEI Afternoons. We'll see what Hart and Fitzy and Ted have coming up on the show. Plus, we still have our clip du jour on the way. And right after trending with Billy Lanny, it's time for Grab Bag.
Grab Bag.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending is brought to you by the 99 Restaurants. The Celtics are winners of back-to-back games after last night's 103-85 victory over the Heat in Miami. Up next, the Seas will host the San Antonio Spurs tomorrow night. Red Sox pitchers and catchers will officially report to Fort Myers tomorrow. BU got the 4-1 upset win over number one ranked BC in the Beanpot Championship last night. This is Boston University's 32nd Beanpot title. And tonight on WEEI AM 850, UConn takes on number 24 ranked Creighton. Tip-off is at 9 o'clock with Westwood One's coverage beginning at 8:45. Treat your Valentine at the 99 Restaurants February 14th through the 16th and enjoy delicious menu specials like the juicy 18-ounce T-bone steak, lobster-topped haddock, or creamy short rib mac and cheese. You gotta love the nines. I'm Billy Lanny. That's what's trending now on WEEI, WEEI.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Now, Jones and Keefe.
On WEEI. Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
It's time for Grab Bag. It's time for Grab Bag.
All right, time for Grab Bag here on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. Stuff we couldn't get to in the first 3.5 hours of the program, including Jones. Luka Doncic making his L.A. Lakers debut. He and LeBron playing together for the first time. Luka, 14 points, 5 boards, 4 assists in just 24 minutes, but the Lakers blew out the Utah Jazz, a sad, lowly Utah Jazz.
Did you watch any of that last night?
I didn't catch any of it.
I didn't really take much of it in. Turp was telling us Luka had a very easy under. Yeah. On his scoring prop last night. I didn't realize he was on a minutes limitation.
Mm-hmm.
Lakers have been playing well, even with the Mark Williams trade rescinded.
Yeah,
and for one night, that certainly paid off. You want to see Luka more at full strength. I know it was uglier on the other side
yeah.
in Dallas.
He did not hurt his abductor or whatever. Luka got out of the game healthy and with a big win.
No, but so look, I'm very curious to see how that goes. And while I said I'm not sure they're going to hit the ground running, and I think there's going to be an adjustment period, I allow for the fact that I could be completely wrong. And two top five players and top 10 players in the league, whatever you want to put them as, I think they have the potential to hit the ground running, and the Lakers could be, as you said, the second or third best team in the West. Like, I think that's totally in their range of outcomes.
All right, predict their finish. How far do they go?
Oh, in the playoffs?
Yeah.
Playoffs? Not Western. So win around and then get bounced, right? Something like that?
I think if they can, so right now they're the 4 seed, but everybody's pretty jumbled together.
Yeah.
If they get a 2 or a 3 seed, I think they go to the conference finals.
Interesting.
I think the Thunder, they're the clear-cut team right now.
Yeah, the Thunder would beat them.
Right, but if they are the 4, so right now,
if they got like Memphis, would I pick the Lakers or Memphis?
If they moved up to 3, that's what I'm saying. If they moved up to 3, they could play the Clippers in the first round and then the Grizzlies in the second.
Yeah, I would probably pick the Grizzlies there, but it's fine. Not, that's not like a landslide of a series. I'm with you on that.
Real men of grab bag.
Real men of grab bag.
Kyrie Irving replacing Anthony Davis on the All-Star roster. It's very incestuous. All these guys are very much all together on this. But
yeah.
There you go.
Who picked the replacements? Was Nico Harrison picked the replacements there? So he's replacing Anthony
Davis.
Was
the family kicked out for mouthing fire Nico Harrison?
Did you see this?
I did not see. You were telling me about that. I didn't see it, though.
Okay, so I think they were taking away any signs people had about Nico Harrison. There was one gentleman who was on the Jumbotron.
Yeah.
They were doing like a dance cam, or they were like bouncing around the arena showing all these different people. And the guy got on there and he like played it cool for a second. And then he just, you could clearly see him mouthing fire Nico.
Yeah.
And they immediately like panned the camera back and like zoomed out. And they were like, whoa, 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 whoa. So yeah, they're very, very sensitive to what's going on.
Well, did you see the story that apparently like he's getting death threats? So they
I mean, that's, that should go without saying that you shouldn't be allowed to do that.
No,
if you're just sitting there claiming, like, wait, Bruins fans have been doing about Don Sweeney, fire Don Sweeney.
Yeah.
You should be allowed to verbalize that.
I would think so.
And, you know, I guess I understand the team taking away signs, I guess, but chants and things like that?
Yeah, please.
That's going to happen. You can't control it.
Grab bag.
Jones, you were right. And when you're right, I give you credit.
Thank you.
The Super Bowl...
Honestly, sometimes the hot takes, they're not just hot takes. Sometimes you're a visionary.
You predicted last week that the Super Bowl is going to be highly rated.
Yeah. I said it would do well.
And boy, was it. 126 million. They're saying it's a Super Bowl record. Most eyeballs on the Super Bowl. Not anybody was bold enough to say that, make that prediction. But yeah, it was a very well-watched. It's funny because it did feel like there wasn't a ton of buzz and hype around the Super Bowl outside of, like, yeah, going for a three-peat, like, that's significant. But it just felt like part of it was a repeat matchup. I don't know if people are getting bored of the Chiefs or whatever. It didn't feel like there was a ton of excitement. But then again, lo and behold, it is the Super Bowl.
Yeah, well, again, I appreciate you giving me full credit for that. I'm not
great.
Sure anybody else is bold enough to go there.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, second of all, you had bad Super Bowl, bad halftime show. It's still rated exceptionally well, which is interesting to me. And no joke, you know what I think boosted the number? I think the streaming number on Tubi was good.
Oh, Tubi.
I'm not even joking. I think that's true. I think that did quite well.
All the other Super Bowls are like, hey, not fair. We didn't have Tubi then. This is the Tubi era.
Exactly.
TE. Super Bowls TE.
I knew about that.
Tubi era.
I knew about that, which is why I factored in the ratings bonanza.
It's
a free app
with a huge catalog. What are we doing, people? We should all be on Tubi right now.
Who is your grab bag?
And what does it do?
This is good news for Billy Lanny.
Oh?
Billy Lanny got mad a couple weeks ago. I did my top 10 movies of the year.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, where are the comedies?
Yeah,
where are the comedies gone?
Why don't we make comedies anymore?
Well,
where my country gone?
I got a comedy for you.
Okay.
It's going to be the funniest movie of the year, and it's not even going to be close.
Okay.
The movie's called Friendship. It stars Tim Robinson and Paul Rudd. They put out a trailer today for it. I tweeted it out at Dork Podcast if you want to find it. It looks like it's going to be a 90-minute I think you should leave sketch. So the premise
is Paul Rudd's in it.
First minute of the trailer was like the most depressing thing I've ever seen.
So it's an A24 movie. That's a production.
Who does A24?
A24, they do like a lot of weird horror movies and stuff.
Okay.
Like if you dig into these A24 movies, there's some weird ones. This isn't like Hereditary and Midsommar, like all these ones, but anyway, this one, it starts out where Tim Robinson and Paul Rudd are neighbors. Paul Rudd invites him over to like just hang out with some of the guys, and he goes over there, and then he really likes them, and then Paul Rudd's like, I don't think I want to be friends anymore, and then Tim Robinson like loses his mind.
Got it.
But it's like a comedy. Like the trailer starts out like it's a really serious movie, but it's Tim Robinson and Paul Rudd, so it's not going to be all that serious.
Okay. Which one are you going to watch first, Billy? This one, or are you going to watch Ricky Stenicki? That was Keith's last recommendation.
Watch Stenicki. Stenicki's out right now. This movie comes out in May.
I was bracing for Ricky Stenicki is what I was bracing for. But okay, yeah, this sounds promising. I like Paul Rudd. I like Tim Robinson.
I can't wait for this.
Great.
This is awesome. Okay. So I'm very excited. Yeah.
You can grab my back. Grab my back. My back. You can grab my back.
Beanpot news. BU defeated BC last night in the title game, matchup of top 10 teams in hockey, and BU victorious.
Congrats to Scott McLaughlin. I know he's very excited about that. Northeastern lost the consolation game, which I didn't really care about.
Fourth place finish for Northeastern.
Yes. By the way, I did not say Sandler. I thought it was a Sandberg production.
Sandberg. That'd be Lonely Island.
Not Sandler.
Sandler would be Happy Madison Productions.
Either way, both.
Happy Gilmore 2 later this year.
Oh.
So Billy gets another comedy.
There you go. Comedies are back.
Oh, comedies are back in a big way.
It took 10 years.
Yeah.
So he can't even enjoy it now.
No, he's just enjoying it. He's just so like negative, it. So glass half empty back
brutal.
There.
Brutal.
Yeah. We're the superheroes.
Grab bag. Grab bag.
Former Red Sox closer Kenley Jansen has signed a one-year deal with the LA Angels.
Oh.
$10 million for Kenley Jansen to go in there and be a bad teammate.
How many? We'll ask this to Brad Foe on Thursday. How often does Brad Foe go to LA and interview him?
Once a month.
Yeah, at least.
He's going to be on the Baseball Isn't Boring.
Well, you got to get him and Joe Kelly.
Oh, yeah. One-stop shopping. Is Joe Kelly still with the Dodgers or is he a free agent?
Brad Foe can tell us. I think he'll have that news, though.
I don't think he's currently on a team.
Okay. Oh, he's available.
Oh, well, nice.
Maybe also goes to the Angels. Hopefully. That'd be perfect.
That'd be a rip. Fingers crossed.
They get Pedroia, boom. Yeah. The baseball
Matt
is boring.
Hat trick.
Yeah, Matt Strom, too. Just call my
name and I'll grab bag.
Kellen Moore, officially the New Orleans Saints head coach. So all of the vacancies have been filled. I don't know how I feel about Kellen Moore.
You wanted Rizzi.
I wanted Rizzi.
You wanted Rizzi.
If you're landing on Kellen Moore, you might as well just keep Rizzi, right?
I mean, Kellen Moore just had a good Super Bowl, good playoff run. Like, I'm not crazy about that either, but I guess after that, I understand making him the hire. I wouldn't bank on him being successful.
No.
But I get taking a swing.
All right.
When you have nausea, heartburn, indigestion, upset stomach.
Grab bag.
Dork podcast was delayed scheduling for Wednesday. So we normally record Monday night. So Wednesday night, AKA tomorrow night, 8:45, we will go Severance season 2, episode 4, followed by, Super Bowl ads and trailers, which there weren't as many during the Super Bowl, but there has been a bunch of trailers since our last episode. So we can get into all that.
I'm caught up on the Severance recaps, by the way. I've been listening along on the Severance recaps. So I'll be patiently awaiting my episode 4 recap.
This last, episode was wild.
Very crazy, yes.
I was trying to get Wiggy on that. Wiggy wouldn't budge.
Wasn't
on
out?
Severance. Yeah, he's like, I tried.
Or wasn't in, rather. No, he was out on it. Yeah, no, I tried to get my wife in on it. She made it episode and a half, and she didn't like it.
But she's in on Paradise.
Yeah, and you know what?
Yeah.
She didn't even tell me this.
That's funny.
She's like, hey, let's start the show. I heard about it. It's called Paradise. We watched an episode. I go, where'd you even hear about this? She's like, Greg and Keith were talking about it.
That's right.
I go, I didn't even know.
Good crossover talk.
It was.
You know, I'd never even heard of the show either. Greg and Wiggy said they were watching it, and then I watched 4 episodes, like, right in a row. I think the 5th one comes out tonight. Nick, are you on that? Paradise?
No, I'm pretty behind on that one. Right. And Severance. I'm all behind on everything again. Y'all caught up, and now I'm behind again.
He's constipated on shows over here.
Grab bag.
All right, top NBA performers from last night. 5 to choose from here, Jones. Nikola Jokic, always on this list. 40 points, 7 rebounds, 8 assists. DeMar DeRozan, the lone mid-ranger. 42 points, 7 boards. Victor Wembanyama, who the Celtics will see tomorrow night. 31 points, 15 rebounds, 4 assists. Evan Mobley, 28 points, 10 rebounds, 6 assists. And Steph Curry, a throwback game for him, 38 points, 6 boards, 4 assists.
Let's go Wemby. We're going to do some Wemby talk this week. Give me Wemby. Let's give him the player of the night.
All right.
It's time for Jones and Keefe's
Random. Brandon Phillips.
Eduardo Nunez.
Curtis Luskanic.
Baseball player of the day.
All right. We are going to go with a third baseman.
Okay.
Third baseman. So obviously a righty arm. However, lefty stick.
Oh, boy.
He's got a lefty stick.
Okay.
Played for three teams in his illustrious Major League career. Twins, Blue Jays, Brewers.
Twins, Blue Jays, Brewers.
That's right.
Okay.
In that order as well.
Good to
know. Twins, Blue Jays, Brewers. Mm-hmm. He finished 25th in the MVP 1 year.
Okay.
That was with the Twins, if that helps. He cracked into the majors 1998. His last game was in 2006. He had a 26 home run season. That was his high. And in that year, he had 103 RBI.
You said 98 to 2006. That's it?
Yep.
Man.
Nine years in and out.
Okay.
All he needed. 275 career average. OPS over 800. Nothing to sneeze at. Made over $26 million in his career.
I mean, this guy, he was still playing too recently. I was going to say Trevor Plouffe, not Trevor Plouffe.
It's not Trevor Plouffe. Canadian.
Okay.
Canadian player.
Jason Bay.
He's on the other hot corner.
He's on the other hot corner.
Third baseman. 26 taters, 103 RBI. In 2001, where he got MVP votes.
Uh-huh.
Never an all-star.
Which team was that? That was Minnesota.
Most of his time spent with Minnesota, then Toronto, then Milwaukee.
I got nothing. So it's like Joe Mauer, Morneau. Who was the third baseman on those teams?
Gary Gaetti?
I think he might have replaced Gaetti. Outfield was like Jock Jones.
Who was the
third baseman on those teams?
Yeah, like a Torrey Hunter maybe?
Yeah, Mauer was just hitting 370 every year.
Mauer's probably smashing the ball.
Probably knocking him in with like line singles to right field.
Don't have him catch.
That was the third baseman on that team.
He's a good player.
I guess. Good player. Okay. I'm going to look
at Text line has it.
Text line's got it. What about Twitch?
Twitch says John Jaha. That's not right.
It's not I love John Jaha, but no, it's not him.
Oh, Corey Koski.
He got it.
Corey Koski.
Corey Koski.
He knew when he was done.
Nice little place. That's it.
9 years, I'm in him out.
Retired 33.
Nice.
$26 million in the bank.
Good get. If the Twitch chat had it,
our chat is minimized right now, so
a stray commercial in there right now.
I don't see it in there.
Okay, I believe the text line gets the win there. Corey Koski, hang on. Arcan usually is pretty good at this game.
Yep.
No text from Christian Arcan.
Who
so
else you got? Nope.
Full credit to the text line. Corey Koski.
There you go.
How about it? That's a random player right there.
It sure is.
I mean, it's a very apropos name. It was very on the nose. Random baseball player in the grab bag each and every day here on Jones and Keefe. We'll check in with WEEI Afternoon, see what they have coming up. If you're dialing them up, 617-779-7937. You can hang out on the phones there, and we'll give you our clip du jour next.
This is Jones and Keefe
on WEEI.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app.
And take Boston Sports Original
everywhere you go.
All right, time out for the clip du jour here on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. Jones, ready for that?
What is the clip du jour again?
Well, I'm glad you asked. It's the clip of the day. And today, we had a caller who had a hot draft take, but it seemed like he may have been a little preoccupied.
Go ahead, Hunter.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Was that a bird call?
Yeah, I was going to say, what do you have, parakeets or something like that? What is that?
Yeah, no, it was an electronic thing. But I wanted to talk about just coming.
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
Are you breaking into some place that has a safe?
No, we're good. It's an alarm thing, but I want to talk about the upcoming draft.
Do it quick before the cops show up.
Yeah, so the Travis Hunter situation, I understand I'm probably on an island out here, but I really despise taking that kid, even in the top 10, if it was up to me.
Uh-huh.
But so I bring up, I think the guy has pure athleticism and...
go on.
I just think his talent alone isn't going to be enough to suffice in the NFL against these bigger names. He doesn't have the technique and proper.
What was
happening there?
I don't know.
It's just electronics.
Stuart Gardner Museum removing paintings.
Text, great. The guy breaking into a jewelry store doesn't like Travis Hunter.
Well, look, we're not going to shut down any opinions, Keith.
Do me a favor. When you're stealing cars out there, change the presets. 93.7.
Yeah.
93.7.
Yeah, just leave that in there for the next person, if you don't mind. Yeah, all six of them.
Mm-hmm.
Is that still standard? You still get sticks?
It's like newer the cars have more? Calling card.
Yeah, yeah, it is.
93.7 was set to number one on all these cars.
That's exactly right. Man.
Although I am surprised, he's one in a long line of Travis Hunter's not that good. We get texts every day about
there are
it.
A lot of the
from like different numbers.
Wiggy in the crossover is like, yeah, no, I don't
he doesn't
get
love
it.
Him either.
No, weird.
I don't know. I feel like in this draft, I'd absolutely take him.
Polarizing. That's a good sign for if the Patriots do draft him.
Do you
That's
think
a good,
that guy got away with it though? Is oh, the yeah. question?
I think by now, yeah.
Yeah, it's just electronics.
What?
And then he was like, "No, it's an alarm thing." An alarm thing. Is it your alarm?
Yeah, no, it was the electronic thing.
The sneaky underrated part of that is that his name was Hunter.
Well, I know it wasn't.
So I think
it wasn't his real name.
Was he giving us fake name?
Yeah.
He's got a real, real crime about of Travis the century Hunter. Going on.
What's your name?
Hunter.
Hunter. Okay. Great.
Whatever.
Anyway.
Worked out.
We had a good string of calls here. Two days.
Always. There's so many good ones. What's coming up today on WEEI Afternoons there, Hart?
Big show. We're actually going to start Celtics. I don't know how much you guys get into Celtics.
Little Celtics. Why are they so good on the road?
Well, and did we just have a little inflection point between Joe Mazzulla, Jason Tatum, motivation? I thought the third quarter was as well as I've seen Jason Tatum play.
He was good.
It might be my favorite Jason Tatum quarter of all time. And Keith knows.
And you hate him, yeah.
He's not kind of a hater.
He does not care for you.
There's not many quarters you like, so that makes sense.
Right. Yeah. And 100%. Yeah. And it came off a bad start, which is a little too frequent lately. But Joe Mazzulla apparently called him out at halftime. He responded. He was hitting threes. But more importantly, he was hitting mid-range. He was taking it to the rim. He was flexing and slamming his chest. If you give me that Jason Tatum all the time, the Celtics are unbeatable. Now, we'll see if you can get that Jason Tatum a little more often. Mm-hmm. I also liked his post-game comments about, I don't really give a rat's ass about Luka and the Lakers. I'm a Celtics fan now.
So, well, yeah, I'm happy he added now. We were talking about those comments a little bit before the show. That's nonsense. That he doesn't care about the Lakers? That's
nonsense. I think he was in a mood. I think Joe Mazzulla put a bee in his bonnet. And if Joe Mazzulla...
Well, Mazzulla did the same thing, right? Wasn't it at the deadline where he was like, don't ask me about the trade.
Yeah, I don't care about the trades.
It's like, well, you are a head coach in the league. Like, we kind of, you know, what's your thought
but
on it?
But if Joe Mazzulla found the button to push on Jason Tatum...
That'd be good.
It's over
don't
for everybody
about
else.
The trades. I don't really care.
So you got a little little gullible Andy, optimistic Andy, whatever they call me in the Twitch chat. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we'll continue to talk Super Bowl reaction. We'll talk a little bit about Ted joining us at 3, what he saw. I find it interesting because the defensive front's kind of dominated, right? The Chiefs were dominated by that Eagles front, but also the Chiefs front dominated Saquon Barkley. I'm sure Ted will have some... insight from a middle linebacker perspective, how that all went forth. We'll talk a little bit about the Red Sox. Did you hear that answer from Alex Cora about Devers? What position?
Like yes. Third,
and oh, like, yeah.
He's our third baseman.
He's been hanging around.
Yes, you do. Yes.
These guys. These guys.
It has begun.
It has begun. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, it's here.
It's apparently a playoff season, so I'll buy into it early on.
All right.
But yeah, lots of football. A little game of either or as well as we get into the Patriots offseason. You know, like, I don't know, either or. Debo Samuel or Cooper Kupp. Campbell. Or so we'll go down the whole road of prospects,
Will Campbell, trades.
I'm not going to give it away. You'll have to listen.
I don't want Will Campbell.
You don't want Will Campbell?
Nope.
Why would you not want the best left tackle in the draft?
I don't think he's the best tackle in the draft.
See, that's coming back around. The narrative with him has ebbed and flowed a little bit. For a while, it was like, he's a guard and he might be the 16th best prospect. Field Yates has him as the 6th overall prospect. The Athletic has him as the 8th overall prospect at left tackle. If he's 6th or 8th, it's not a reach to take him at 4. You need an offensive lineman. You need Drake May's mainstay.
Well, I didn't realize Field Yates was so high on him, so now I got to rethink this whole thing.
Well, Field Yates' opinion more valuable now for the Patriots to me because
he's not as
like an objective onlooker. He's not a Nantucket insider.
No, this is true. So that's coming up today on WEEI, the crossover brought to you by the 99 Restaurant. You can treat your Valentine at the 99 Restaurant February 14th through the 16th and enjoy delicious menu specials like the juicy 18-ounce T-bone steak, lobster topped haddock, or creamy short rib mac and cheese. You gotta love the nine. Stay tuned. WEEI Afternoons. You got Hart, you got Fitzy, you got Ted. We're back tomorrow at 10. It's Would You Rather Wednesday. We'll talk some Celtics with Terp as well. That's tomorrow on WEEI.
Thank you, guys. That was fun.